Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to catch you up on some of the news you might have missed over the weekend. This Easter weekend, the Diocese of Scranton welcomed more than 300 new Catholics into the church. And the primary election is on the way next month. Learn more about what it takes to get on the primary ballot. It's Monday, April 6th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start off with a bit of that Easter story, since it is Easter Monday. The Diocese of Scranton went into Easter weekend preparing to welcome over 300 new Catholics into the church. One of them was Ryan Camerata, who was raised Catholic, but in his words, fell away from the church as a young man. He talks about what it feels like to return to Catholicism at the age of 31.
You know, I've come to a place where I really want to be. And it's the start of the rest of my life, the rest of my journey. You know what I mean? The start of a deeper spiritual life, basically, I think is what I want to say.
Catholic dioceses around the country are seeing significant increases in new members. The National Catholic Register newspaper last week reported that among those seeing the biggest spikes are three other Pennsylvania dioceses: Altoona Johnstown, Harrisburg, and Philadelphia. Find the full story on the Scranton Diocese at WVIA.org. So now the Easter season is over, but allergy season is just beginning. Symptoms like itchy eyes, a runny nose, and sneezing may already be plaguing you if you suffer from spring allergies. Unfortunately for all of us allergy sufferers, Zoe Reed reports for WVIA that allergy season is starting earlier because of climate change.
Early spring means beautiful tree blooms, but also an increase in pollen that can trigger allergies. Daniel DiGiacomo is a pediatric allergist at Hackensack Meridian Health in New Jersey. He says warming temperatures means pollen season is starting earlier.
I see predominantly kids, and there is good data to show that uncontrolled seasonal allergies or allergic rhinitis can have impacts on sleep and also impacts on school.
He recommends people start their medications before they become symptomatic. Keep your windows closed during allergy season. Use an air purifier and change your clothes after spending time outdoors.
That was Zoe Reed reporting. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuis from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. So, the primary election is on the way. We'll talk in depth about that next. First, though, Governor Josh Shapiro has joined another lawsuit against the Trump administration, this time challenging Trump's executive order to crack down on mail-in ballots. Trump wants the U.S. Postal Service to check state voter rolls before sending out mail-in ballots. Speaking at the governor's residence in Harrisburg last week, Shapiro said the U.S. Constitution clearly gives states control over election procedures. He also called the order meaningless.
Donald Trump can sign whatever executive order he wants when it comes to elections. It will be meaningless. It will be overturned in the courts, and our states will continue to run our elections.
The lawsuit is being filed by a coalition of Democrats from 23 states. Now, one last thing for you. We talk more about the primary election on the latest News Voices. Here's more. Hello and welcome to News Voices, your weekly look behind the scenes at WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thank you for joining us. The primary election is a bit more than a month away, but there's a lot that happens before registered Democrats and Republicans head to the polls to decide what the midterm ballot will look like. Some candidates have faced challenges to their presence on the primary ballot, and others will be dealing with crowded primary fields. Luckily, WVIA News politics reporter Boris Krauchinyuk is here to break it all down and tell us what to look for in May. Hi, Boris.
Hi, Sarah.
So thank you so much for being here, as always. Let's start with talking about how someone even gets on the ballot for the primary.
So when you run for office in Pennsylvania, you have to file three different forms. You have to file a candidate affidavit, a financial interest statement, and nominating petitions. So with the candidate affidavit, that's basic stuff: your name, address, precinct where you vote, what office you're running for, and the way you want your name to appear on the ballot. When you fill that out, you swear you're eligible to run for the office. And the main requirement for that is you have to be old enough to vote, you have to be registered to vote and registered in the place where you're running. Most of the time, Congress is an exception. You also have to file a financial interest statement that basically tells the public how you make money, what your debts are, what groups or organizations you're part of. That way they can look out for conflicts of interest. And the third and most important thing is nominating petitions, where you gather signatures to get on the ballot. If you're a Democrat or a Republican, the people who signed your petitions have to be members of your party, and they have to live in the district that you want to represent. So depending on the office, you have to get a certain number of valid signatures. We're in a state election year, for the local legislative races, it's 500 for the Senate and 300 for the House. Then you have to get a notary public to notarize all these forms. And then you file them with the Pennsylvania Department of State by a deadline, which this year was March 10th. And then your opponents or your challengers, they have a week to go through your petitions and your candidate affidavit and your other paperwork and say, you didn't fill these out right. When that happens, they can go to court and challenge your petitions. For example, they can say that you didn't get them notarized or you didn't fill them out right. They can say that the names on the petitions are illegible, or someone doesn't live in your district, or the registered voter person isn't registered to vote. They're not registered to vote as a Democrat and you're a Democratic candidate. All this becomes quite the game, and every year we've had that again this year.
Yes, so we have had that happen this year. There were several challenges. Tell me briefly a little bit about what happened there towards the end of March.
There were five challenges, two to a state senator, Marty Flynn's petitions, one to his opponent, Jeffrey Lake. There was another to a state house candidate, the 117th district, Bill Jones, and two to in the 115th district, the incumbent representative, Maureen Madden, and her challenger filed. They've all been resolved at this point. For the most part, the candidates are staying on the ballot. So there's things that they basically challenged things based on not filling out the petitions correctly. Like in one case, in Bill Jones's and Marty Flynn's case, the challenges were that they left the name of the voting precinct blank. Mm-hmm. And the judge said, no, that's not a good enough reason to get someone off the ballot.
All right, we should note that is as of this recording. Now, we only have a little bit of time left. I'm just wondering, are there any particular primary races that you are going to be focusing on?
Well, the big one for us in our region is going to be the Democratic nomination for the state Senate between the incumbent Marty Flynn and Jeff Lake. That's kind of the biggest race on the ballot. But there are not a lot of primary challenges. Most of the races are unopposed. There are only four contested races. There's the Bill Jones race is interesting because he's challenging incumbent Representative Jamie Walsh, who people may remember had to go through quite a process to get elected last time, just to get on the ballot last time.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to your coverage and WVIA News' coverage on May 19th for the primary. Thanks, Boris.
Thanks.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready to start the week. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for joining me today. Remember, if you want to stay in the know, make sure you subscribe and tune in every weekday wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.